Ah, what an exciting day. We have Roslyn with us today. Roslyn McGrath, she's an author and a channel and an artist, and it's such an honor to have you with us, Roslyn.
Well, I'm very excited about our doing this podcast together.
Oh, me too. The three of us, too. Now, you introduced me to TJ, right?
I did.
Yes.
I connected you guys by email initially, I think.
Yes, you did. So it's only fitting that you would be our first in-person interview. Don't you think, TJ?
Yes, I do. I think so. And actually, you seem to, maybe it slipped your, in this lifetime, but Roslyn actually introduced us back in the day when we were on Atlantis, as I recall.
Oh, you remember all the details perfectly.
As I recall, I remember that.
Yes.
Vaguely.
I hear you.
So how you doing, Roz?
I'm doing good.
So where are we going with this today? I know you've been working on things, and Joy, what are you going to ask her today?
Well, I'm very excited and quite honored, as I said. Roslyn has written a book. And Roslyn, would you like to share what the name of your book is and just tell us a little bit about it? I think it's. I would like to hear you say it.
Okay. The title is The Third Mary, the 55 Messages for Empowering Truth, Peace, and Grace from the mother of Mary Magdalene.
Hmm.
Now, how beautiful is that? We hear of all the different goddesses, and this is one that we've never heard her story before. Wow.
And this is, how did this come to you, Roslyn?
Well, there's a two-part catalyst. I'm sure I know that on the show, Flo, Aivia Magdalena's book, I Remember Union, has been mentioned at different times, and that's been a very important book in my life and very powerful for me each time I've read it. I've read it three times over the years, and it has stayed with me in different ways. But one of the most compelling aspects for me each time I've read it has been my sense of the presence of Mary Magdalene's mother and my spiritual connection with her. And it's been so strong for me that I'm surprised when I hear other people say, oh, I never even thought about her, or oh, she was hardly in the book, because somehow for me she has always been a very large presence.
Mm-hmm.
Joy and I were talking on the phone one day this summer, and I was sharing some of my thoughts and feelings about that. You know, what I would always hear was, and, you know, in reading about Mary Magdalene, was, and you were her mother. And there's so many ways to look at the idea of past lives, or we part of, you know, were we one of a number of souls carrying the energy of whatever that is. But it is a very close connection for me, and something I really didn't share with anybody. I had told one person once, you know, within the past year, and then this came up with Joy, and she said, "Well, you know, you should dialogue with her." And I said, "No, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that." But at the same time, I'm already starting to hear her start to dialogue with me from the time that Joy asked me the question. And so a little sort of short poem or mantra came to me from her early that next morning. And by about a week later, I made the commitment to start this dialogue through writing, or I should say really dictation, although certainly she responded to where I was at, and there is some dialogue between us at a certain point in this dictation I took down. But I took down 55 messages over a period of a little over 2 months of what she wants to share with us. And so it's been a really profound experience for me, and that connection continues.
Wow. Now, as you're writing the book, mm-hmm. are you experiencing personal shifts inside of you as you're writing this book about yourself?
I have felt shifts from the time I began to hear her voice distinctly.
Wow, that's
amazing. And it is really, I feel like more of myself. Mm-hmm. I feel I'm much more here. Mm-hmm. I feel like my life has a lot more substance and that I'm in this really meaty part of it. Mm-hmm. And I certainly have been, you know, focusing on what is most important to me, and how I want to spend my time and energy for you know, close to 20 years now. But this is a whole new level for me.
Well, I have to say, I'm in the middle of reading the copy that you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm on page 22. Mm-hmm. And it is just, it's gripping. Every time I think, okay, I have to put it down, I keep picking up more pages. This is in one day I've read this. And I'm really excited because I woke up this morning and I wanted to share this with you. There's things that Marandella, she writes about the Magdalene as a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up this morning with this realization that when people read this, it is going to touch their heart about her in a whole other way.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that my heart is so in it. I can't wait to finish it. But the only issue will be that it will end, you know. So I'm really excited that you're doing this, and I want to thank you on behalf of the world for this service, because I know it's a service, and I know it's also involves you stepping forward with this, and what a brave, strong, courageous soul you are. I just love you dearly. You know that.
I do.
Yes.
And I want to thank you on behalf of the world, because I don't know what would have prompted me, certainly what would have prompted me at this time to go down this road. You really have played and continue to play a very powerful role with this. And I do just want to mention, for clarity for people, that with the names in this book, so Joy is referring to Mirandella, when I started this writing at first, you know, this being or part of me or however you see that, she refers to herself as just as the mother of Mary Magdalene, and then she gives me the name Mirandella and says there'll be a name that's more public later on. And so there's an unfolding through these writings of the name and the names that she goes by, and that list of titles and description grows, and she becomes even more specific and present. It's like more aspects of her coming forward, is my sense. So Mirandella is referring to this same person. And at the point where she refers to herself as the third Mary, as in Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and her, for me, that was a powerful moment. It was electric, and I knew that would be part of the title. And then, of course, I got wonderful confirmation from Joy, who just, You can share that yourself if you like. But it was very affirming for me.
Oh my God, yeah,
when I got Joy's response.
Oh, she said the title, and my whole body shook and lit up. It was like, of course, you know. It was like my soul was doing a happy dance.
Can I just interject something? And maybe this, for people that are listening to this, maybe not everybody's familiar with the original book.
Right. I remember Union.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe, do you want to talk about that, Joy or Rosalind,
sure,
about what that's about, and also explain how maybe we're all connected to that? If you don't mind, it's your show. Do what you want. You can dance.
Okay.
Thank you, TJ.
Yes.
Joy, would you?
Sure. I, like Roslyn, read I Remember Years, I Remember Union years ago and had such a strong reaction to it. It was the most profound book I've ever read for me, and it was life-changing. And I think I read it in 1992. And it's the story of Mary Magdalene and Christ, but it's Mary's story. And it's Mary Magdalene in a way that the world has never heard her represented. It's beautiful. It's by far the most beautiful love story I've ever read. And it's also the story of what happened with Christ as he walked his mission, and how Mary was actually his teacher. And it gets into Judas and how Judas has such love for Christ, he took on the hatred of humanity to play this role so that Christ could accomplish his mission. So the story starts off with each of the players, Mary Magdalene, Judas, and Christ, in the swing between worlds, talking about the lifetime ahead. And they're speaking to the ones with no names, who are a body of light and knowledge, responsible for maintaining order and truth throughout the universe. They're called the cosmic guidance counselors at times. And they're the ones all of our souls speak to before we incarnate. So the story starts off from the swing between worlds and what the story is behind the story that people have been told. And for those of us that resonate with this book, it really, it's very life-changing. So I know Rosalind and I both have a very deep connection with it. And I think TJ's read it and, you know, he's still looking at that, I think.
There's some things I definitely connect to. What about the part about 144 souls?
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about that a little bit? Because, you know, everybody's
sure
going to want to play the role of Jesus or Mary or somebody. Hey, I remember that. I was the sheep back then.
Either that or the lazy Messiah,
yeah,
right?
So, but, you know, the way it was explained, which I found really fascinating in the book, about, because, you know, there's only going to be one of each. Well, no, that's not the case. There were several.
Mm-hmm.
Several consciousness.
144
right?
stars or aspects were placed inside of the body of Christ. So if you think of it like this, every human being on this planet has consciousness or a star, an aspect of consciousness that links them to Source. Well, with Mary Magdalene, Christ, and Judas, and Mother Mary, and I'm feeling the third Mary as well, there were 144 stars placed inside of the form in the consciousness of the person who played that role. And then it was agreed that by the year 2000, all those stars, like the 144 stars in Christ or in Mary, would incarnate in singular bodies to carry that consciousness here to play out the resolution of the coming together of all ages. So in this lifetime, I have met many, many of these stars or aspects, and I have no question that they are, because there's a frequency, there are patterns in their lives, there are certain issues, and there's certain remembrances or connections to that lifetime, were connections that people that were there at that time have to each other. And at the same time, even when those stars or aspects are here and they're working, a big part of the work is to remind all the other souls on the planet that they have light consciousness in them too. So it's not kind of like, hey, look at me, I got the special T-shirt. It's more like, hey, I got one, and so do you. Mm-hmm. So that's the design, is union. It's that we're all one. We're all equal. Some of us have different roles we play. Some of us have signed up for things that look like highfalutin purposes. But
highfalutin?
Then in the long run, every single purpose has a piece in this hologram and design that can only be lived out if you put your piece in. So every piece and every soul is equally important.
Could you identify what highfalutin means?
It's one of my words. It's a joyism.
Oh, okay. One of my favorite words.
Thank you. It's so nice to have you with us, Rosalind.
and it is exceedingly joyous to be with both of you. And I do want to add, one of the real noticeable aspects of these writings is that the third Mary, Mary the Elder, she keeps linking the past with the present and the future. I thought it would predominantly be talking about the past in Mary Magdalene, and it's definitely a powerful part of this. But what she keeps doing is relating it to now and to everybody.
Yes, she does.
And to moving us all forward. That it's really about all time and preparing us for what she feels she knows we are very close to, that we are more than three-quarters of the way to really experiencing heaven on earth.
Well, that was something I noticed in the book as well. And I felt, as I read the book, that this book is laying the foundation for people to experience another point to integrate and foundation the truth as it's experienced from a higher level for all souls. You get what I'm saying there? That this book foundations, it's the way shower, and points the arrows.
And even within the book, there are vibrational shifts.
Yes. It's interesting, too. There's a rhythm in this book when you read it. There's a rhythm. And it feels that it's very fluid. It has a cadence. It's a story, but you can feel the vibration of the story as you read it. So I wanted to say that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Yes.
Can I throw something in here, too?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, what does TJ wonder about all this?
I know.
I think I'm dealing with a couple of wackos. Sorry. Next caller, go. Kidding. I'm just kidding you.
So,
you know that.
So where'd you go, TJ?
I had a question.
Yeah.
Obviously, the time of when we talk about Christ and Mary Magdalene and very enlightened souls. I mean, we all are at our core, but not everybody's aware of that when we come here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's waking up.
Right. But they were very awake back then, that group. And
that
so
group.
The third Mary is part of that as well. She was a very conscious being, right?
Yes. She received signals. That let her know about her purpose as the mother of this being who was coming.
And so,
Go ahead, TJ.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is that they were very aware. They knew things that maybe not everybody nowadays is quite tapped into.
Mm-hmm.
They're very aware beings, if you want to call them enlightened beings or masters or...
Yeah, they had a high level of awareness. But that was not common for their time at all.
No. Still not common in a lot of places around.
The stories that were passed down to us or have since come through us, but she's very specific about the differences in vibration overall between then and now. And she said, if you think you have it bad now.
I just read that. Yeah.
Yeah. You should have been here then because it was, these are not her words, but it was a lot rougher. You know, the norm was much rougher than where we've come to at this point.
Life was hard then, harder in a whole different way.
Yeah.
It was rustic.
Were women treated with a lot less respect back then?
That was there. I mean, there was both the goddess tradition, which had already had some submerging, and you know, she doesn't really address it directly there. But there's a couple indications that it wouldn't be what we're used to today. And my sense about it is they kept a more separate society.
Hmm.
That the women and men were not mixing as much, and that when they did, it what's the norm to us here in this country wouldn't have been then.
Along with what you're saying, Rosalind, too, back in that time, the women's rituals were done in caves. They were done in secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was underground, and like it says in your book, Mary Magdalene's dad didn't make issue of the goddess rituals as long as they weren't in his face, so to speak. So they were done in secret. They were hidden. And it was interesting because I've heard it said that Mary would look and see the women in secret and see them in their power and notice the separateness with how they had to live day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And that truly affected her, and that is hinted at in this book, too.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it truly, as you're reading it, you get the images of the lifetime then, how it was, and how hard it was for women. Really, to step forward in their power. They weren't free to do that then. So these women were very powerful and profound risk takers because they did things that were so out of the norm.
Doesn't it say in I Remember Union that Mary Magdalene, what is the term you use, twin flame or of Jesus?
Magdalene?
Right. Is that what it says in there? That Rosalind, don't you have a term for that?
She doesn't use a term in this, but she describes that very clearly. When she does talk about Mary and, you know, Mary Magdalene and Jesus, it's the energy blows me away. It is this incredible love.
Mm.
This huge love that really is so in oneness together that it's very inspiring.
That's cool. I mean, that's what I really liked about that book. And for people maybe that, you know, are listening, maybe aren't familiar with this, it's like our souls split and become male and female, right? And we have the other half. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We can hear you. It's that knowing that this soul is a part of you. It is a part of you, a part of your essence is the way I want to say it. Like it's described how in the swing between worlds when Mary was talking with the ones with no names, she says she feels the energy of Christ before she incarnates, and she's like, oh, that's him. It's like she knows that that's him and that that's her. It's that sense of separateness but oneness at the same time. It's a mystery.
Yes, it is.
Does that answer your question?
Well, I guess what I was coming from, where I was coming from, is that, you know, from what I understand, you know, each of us as souls, when we take a physical body, we split into a male and female version, I guess is what I'm asking. And that right, that's what you call that, isn't it? The term you use, Joy?
Twin flame?
Yeah, something.
Yes, but at the same time, we all carry aspects of male and female energy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have a counterpart. It's the sacred marriage. It's that point where our souls overlap. Like if you think of each of us as a soul that is a ring, and when the souls overlap, there's that point in the center where it actually looks almost like a Merkaba energy comes from. That's the link. That's where the union of souls comes in, twin flames. That's where creation comes from.
Okay.
You there?
I think so. I think I'm with you.
I'm going to quiz you on this later.
All right. I'll be taking notes.
I'm taking notes. For quizzes, huh?
Taking notes. I'm taking notes.
He's busy being in the oneness.
Yes, he is.
Which means everybody and everything. And
yes.
That's a lot.
Yes. So I have some more questions about the book.
Okay.
Like, one of the things, I want to know, when will the book be out and be ready for purchase?
The book will be out by June 21st of 2014. Okay. It's possible that it will be earlier, the Third Mary has let me know that she's very aware of all aspects of our world and that she'll assist me with some of the decisions. And she's given me an overall timeline suggested to me.
Good.
And that I publish this book and another that I've been working on that puts together about half of the goddess paintings I've created, along with poems and meditations that go with them and my personal commentary, that those be published at the same time.
Lovely.
And by the summer solstice of next year, and that the other book include the image of her, which she said I could paint in December, so I'm getting very excited about starting a painting, and I'm not sure what form that will take. Each of the paintings are so different. So so the two books are linked, and she strongly suggested, she really asked me to publish them both together.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, you answered my next question, which was, will her photo be on the front, her painting be on the front cover?
I'll know better after the painting is done. But it will. I expect it will be in some form. I'm not sure if the cover will be the right place for it or not, because there are also some ideas about the cover. I don't know if they're going to come together as one image, or not. Until I do the painting, I can't say for sure.
Okay.
And I know that it will be in color in the other book. Which is called Goddess Heart Rising, paintings, poems, and meditations for invoking the power of the divine feminine.
Beautiful.
So I'm starting to understand better just how linked these two books are, because the Third Mary book is a very specific in the invoking of the divine feminine and how that played out in her life, Mary Magdalene's life, and in some ways in Jesus' life.
Wow. Well, there's some exciting.
What was it like for Mary, the Third Mary, to change Mary Magdalene's diapers? Did she get into that? Or?
She didn't get into the diapers, but she really talks about her guiding her her growth spiritually and emotionally, and
could Mary? And I remember reading, and I remember Union, that was Mary able to do a lot of the same things as Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
She without taught a doubt. Him how to do his tricks.
Right. She was there also to connect him, to keep him grounded and centered.
Yes.
Now, what about the third Mary and the Virgin Mary? Were they able to do some of those things?
Yes.
Yeah. That's where Magdalene learned from.
Okay. So,
Mary does speak of Jesus's mother, Mary, in here. And I know that Mary also, in those times, was a term for healer. So no wonder we have all these Marys, you know? Mm-hmm. And when she speaks of Mother Mary, oh, I mean, the huge love and respect and honoring of her, it was really, I have a lot of favorite parts, but the feel of that is one of my very favorite parts in here. And clearly, they were adepts in many ways, not necessarily identical in their skills. And the third Mary, refers to her daughter as going beyond her,
mm-hmm.
And speaks quite often about just how honored she was to have this role as the mother of this being,
mm-hmm.
as well as the challenges for her because she was a human with the emotions of a human mother about the challenges that her daughter was facing and at times of having to use her own self-control to not get in the way.
She did it beautifully. Yes. Now, I know we're... How are we doing time-wise, TJ?
About a half hour.
Okay. I wanted to check in and see... Rosalind, if there's anything specific that comes to your mind or heart that you wanted to share with everyone from the book?
When we were speaking earlier, it came to me that there's a piece I'd like to read from this manuscript.
Okay, lovely.
This is at least 3/4 of the way through. This was written on October 12th of this year. And after introducing herself for the day, shortly after that she goes on to this invitation about her story. She says, "My story is not for everyone's awareness. My story is for those who choose to hear it. My story is for those whose desire for heaven on earth is a natural force lifting them to new planes of experience. My story is for those who understand that a mother's heart is valuable, has worth, is necessary in the unfolding awareness of portions of Jesus the Christ and the Lady Mary Magdalene's story. My story is for those who desire absolution from earthly woes and are willing to shift their own energetic frequencies to support this. My story is for everyone who desires to be their full potential. My story is meant to awaken you to your own significance through deepening your awareness of the truth of those biblical times and by activating your own abilities more strongly for assisting in the creation of heaven on earth. My story is for those of you who are tired of the same old pendulum swing of duality, who want to experience heaven as earth now, who enjoy listening within for their truth signal. My story is for all ages and times. My story is encompassing, weaving through, and protecting your story. My story is about the giving and receiving of love on all levels. My story is without end, for it is of the infinite. My story rests within your story as you unfold your own gifts and nature wisely. My story accrues its wisdom through the compilation and interweaving of all stories of reclamation, inviting personal truth to come together with the absolute and eternal. My story is simply one story with many wings to impart truth from many angles of perambulation. And it is trying to speak through your story in such a way that it might uplift, sustain, and empower you to tell the power of your own inner world's story, and to keep you engaged with your higher nature throughout your time here on Earth.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really...
But there's a little bit more here.
Sorry.
That's okay. My story is unveiled through your willingness to discern it as just a piece of the larger puzzle of creating heaven on Earth. My story is to impart to you the meaning, the significance, that will grow your awareness more fully in these new times through new awareness of the meaning, significance of the old times. My story is my story, available to accept or reject as you please. But it cannot leave you untouched, unmoved, unchanged, because it begins with your piece of the puzzle for creating heaven on earth in it. And it is multi-layered with energies for your highest good. My story is helpful for those who choose to live their lives more fully as sentient creatures on heaven as earth, and to remind you of your own divine nature. My story is willing to support your story in shining truth's light over all creation, and to support the growth of light here for all. My story is a doorway for all who choose to enter. Let us enter together now.
Mm. Oh, that's just beautiful, beautiful.
Yes, it is. That really is.
Lovely invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I can't wait till this book is out. I'm telling you. Even though I'm reading
it already. I can't either. You know, every part of this process is very exciting for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want you to know that even just as a witness and someone who's been with you, it's exciting for me every step of the way, too, and to see what the outcome, how it affects people. I'm so eager to see how well this is received. I know it's going to be received beautifully. So, again, thank you for writing this. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank Mary's mother, of course. And we had talked a little about you channeling, and I wanted to know if you'd be willing to do that today. To see
definitely.
If, yeah?
And TJ, is there something you... I heard a TJ noise over there.
As far as what, channeling, you said?
Yeah. Is there something you wanted to?
Sasquatch, anytime you want him. I'm just kidding.
He's on a roll today.
No.
He is.
I think...
We love him.
Whatever you choose to do, you go ahead.
Okay. So, the request I'm hearing... If unless there's a direct follow-up question, if the two of you would just like do a back and forth, one turn, then another turn, in that, not that we all have both a male and female, but that will be a real nice balance of those energies in this channeling, if you guys would do that.
Sure. So we'll take turns asking questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
That
right, sounds
good, TJ?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So I'm going to... TJ's familiar with my silent moments from other channelings. I'm going to just take a moment here to fully shift over, and then I'll let you know that I'm ready.
Okay. Oh, TJ, do you want to go first?
No, why don't you go ahead and go first?
All right. Okay. If you insist.
I insist.
Thank you.
And I want you to know my lovely little cockapoo had to come in for this part.
Absolutely.
Iggy. Iggy is here.
Yes.
Ah. I'm going to channel my inner Iggy right now.
And indeed, I am most appreciative of this opportunity to be here with all of you at this time. I am known most publicly now as the Third Mary, or you may refer to me as Mary the Elder, if you like, as well as Mary of Nisa. Nisa was my mother during this human lifetime.
Well, thank you, Mary the Elder, for coming forward and being present with us and catalyzing the shifts of heaven here to earth and all the ways you do. First, we want to thank you for this. And
I would like to share that while indeed I am a very prevalent aspect of the one through whom we speak, more than she is fully aware of as yet, I am an aspect of all of you. Mm. There is a piece of you that is part of me.
Absolutely.
And so when I speak with you today, when you hear my voice, my request is that you feel this part of your nature. Feel that expand in you so that you know this part of your truth more concretely.
Thank you. Thank you. We will. I'll
Thank
behave
you.
Today. And I do have a question. Okay.
And I was counting on that. And several, I would expect. Here one.
Okay. Thank you. One of the things that is up right now are the earth changes. And there have been some really huge shifts that have occurred this past couple of weeks. And I was eager to know if you had any input on that at this point.
There are large groups who have chosen their ascension together. They chose to have a greater impact this way upon the world and the outpouring of compassion, of hearts really opening. That is part of their service. There is more to it than this, but this is a very strong aspect of their leaving their physical form in this way. They are, as a whole, they are very involved in assisting with the new times from what many of you refer to as the other side.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So this is not to poo-poo or invalidate in any way the suffering of those who remain. And indeed, or any who know me, know that I have felt much physical, emotional pain in my human lifetime as well, and that I feel for you, and I care for each one of you, and that your response matters, your being matters. And so it is not to say, do not grieve, because how could you not? Mm-hmm. It's part of the human experience and a very valuable, a very poignant, although obviously very challenging part. And all of you listening know of this in some way. And some of you may indeed have very personal connections or even, you know, 2 to 3 people removed connections with this. And your pain, I would just add, it may also empower you. May it empower you.
Mary, I wanted to ask, many of the ones that were there in 2,000 years ago, many of those are here now.
Yes, all.
All are back.
Yes.
Is it all the aspects?
Yes.
All the 144 aspects.
Yes.
Okay. And all had different roles back then.
Well, you know, very interconnected. But yes, there are different, you know, sides of it.
So I keep, you know, I keep hearing the reference of this is going to become like heaven on earth. Is there a time frame? I guess it's up to us. But how is this moving forward?
Rather than a time frame, it is recommended from the one to whom I speak that it is more about the process.
Okay.
It is 85% of the way.
So far, 85%. What happens when we get to 100%?
You will not have this question anymore. And you will be delightfully engaged in every way in your life.
Hmm.
It does not mean there won't be any variation, any contrast, but that it will be so much lighter. It is truly like your difference between night and day.
Are we going to enter a world where there will be no darkness?
There will be contrast. The dark will never seem so heavy or alone again.
Okay.
You will never be able to know, to really believe yourself as alone when we reach this point. And I would just like to remind all of you who are so concretely engaged in your lifetimes that at 3 a.m., you have no physical glimmer of the light, the natural light that is coming in a short amount of time, you know? And so it is upon your world. However, there are those corners and those glimmers. Some will experience this sooner because the knowing so grows inside that it shifts what is around you and your experience of it. And so there will be minor variations in human time.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I have a question concerning the Heaven on Earth communities.
Yes.
And my understanding is that there are going to be many communities like this around the globe.
Yes.
And I also understand that I will be setting up safe houses and centers for children.
Yes.
And my feeling is that the safe houses need to start out west. And because I'm going to have to move. And I'm just curious if you have any input concerning a location or anything like that would be most productive.
How I would refine this is west of you. That the first one be west of you. It's not required that it be on the West Coast or close to there, okay?
So where's west of me?
West of where you are physically now.
Where is that?
I'm west of you.
Are you?
And, yes, west of the state that you are in.
Interesting. So yes. Michigan is west of
you. That's west of you, yes.
Well, no wonder every time I go there, they want to know if I'll be living there. But my understanding as well is that I will set up one and keep moving because it needs to start and to keep setting them up. Now, I know as well that that's going to happen with these light cities. And the Heaven on Earth communities are the predicted light cities that are on the IM map, are they not?
I will share my perspective on
all
this.
Right.
Indeed, there will be these communities, these points of light growing, And at the same time, they will shift locations around them. Mm-hmm. So it is never limited to, you know, like you belong to here or you must be here, because boom, 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 things begin to shift.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they are powerful catalysts. Everyone knows ultimately where they truly belong in a certain period in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And do not go, any of you, by others' judgment. Really deeply look within, because you do not have to be in one of these communities that this dear one is describing to play your role or to experience heaven on earth, or that you have to, that it will be much longer. Just take your next step. Really sense your next step and take that step fully. And that one will take you to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Always, always. And ever, if you have concerns, you may call upon any of us, your brethren, that you see us as above you, but we walk beside you and within you.
Yes, indeedy. How true, how true. Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear heart.
TJ, you're on.
On my turn.
Come on back.
Mary, we are going to see continued changes. The earth is going to continue to shift. Will there be, now I said, you said that a lot of people will choose to cross at the same time, you know, part of a greater awareness bringing to the planet.
Well, many have in what this dear one Joy was describing.
And so we're going to continue to see that bumpy ride for a while yet?
It will slack off at a certain point. There will be some more, but not a lot more. That is how, from my perspective, how I see things coming together.
Okay. So where I'm at right now, you know where I'm at, right? You can tell where I'm at.
Yes.
I don't need to go get a helmet or, you know, body suit or...
You have one. You just don't feel it with your physical senses.
Okay.
You are very well protected. And it is not actually any accident that you bring up helmet, because you really have a very powerful protection in this area of your being.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much, Mary.
You're welcome.
Way cool. So... I had a question, but I was so involved in the answer that you gave. I'm just coming back. Ugh, I hate it when that happens.
That's okay. What are you going to do?
Why don't you ask a question? My question will come back.
Ask another to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Living back in that time, and I guess I don't remember, but I feel like I'm connected. And was I connected to that, Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
You are.
Okay. That's what Joy keeps telling me.
She has much to share with you.
And so,
and that is a good thing.
Altogether,
good memory.
Altogether, Mary, how many, if there were 144 aspects. No, I'm serious.
We are looking for the etheric calculator for whatever your question may be.
Yeah, that's true. But how many different people, or how many different beings, were all the disciples a part of this? I mean, how big of a group was it altogether? Not just with the 144 aspects, but just saying individual beings that were here, Jesus and Mary and both other Marys and all the other, how many were involved in this changing of consciousness?
So there was a core circle and then another layer of circle out.
Okay.
Because not everyone was privy to all aspects and information, nor was I myself fully. I mean, ultimately, the pair, you know, the divine union mm-hmm. of Jesus and Mary stood at the center of this circle, empowering all of us and knowing that we are all one with them. And then in these messages that I have shared with the one to whom I am speaking, referred to a core of four, but we would say really there are seven that I would call it like an inner circle and an outer circle of 15 and then 24, and then it just continues. You know, there were varying levels of engagement in terms of full higher self engagement.
So I got a question for you, Mary. Was I the sheep? Because I really think I was the sheep at the manger.
Well, you give it up.
You had we had Harlequins at this time, we would love to have the you of now play this role. Well, you're doing a fine job. And it does assist us in this whole process together. And there's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are a little more comfortable, not a lot, but a little, when you are a little more comfortable, it will be easier for you to integrate this.
Okay.
You have some concerns about the whole concepts of less than and greater than, and when you let go of this a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
it will be easier for you to integrate it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, wise one.
There's just a tiny bit of my humor in these messages, but yes, dear one, I do have more humor in me, and perhaps as things evolve, I will share more of that in time. In the meantime, I thank you for bringing it into our time together.
We have just a little while left here, a few minutes, if there's anything you want to add as well.
I have a question. Okay.
Yes.
All right. As you're speaking, I seem to have these flashes or memories of you during the time of Camelot. And I want to know, that whole thing keeps coming up.
I was there, yes.
Yes, and I remember you from then. I remember you well.
Indeed.
And I want to honor you in that dimension as well.
And I you.
Yes, and it's lovely to have you here with us now as well.
Thank you.
Yes, and yes, TJ was the sheep.
Oh, finally someone will respond. Oh, sheep, have you some bars of wisdom for us?
You know, don't lose all your wool overnight. It's cold.
You cannot pull the wool over his eyes.
No, not so easily.
No.
It is growing firmly around.
Well, he is expanding quite nicely in this dimension. He has been.
Indeed. As are you. And in your growth together, as well as in your work together, it is well that this forum of union takes place, this connecting, and it does serve the greater whole. It is like a web creating like a soothing kind of crib, rocking crib, to uphold the hearts of those who seek more nurturance for their spirit.
Thank you.
Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
And is there anything you would like to add about the babies?
Well, they are so beautiful.
Are they not?
They speak of themselves. And they are very powerful beings, and we know you love them, and all of you, may they awaken the Christ child within your heart.
Wow, beautiful. Well, I would like to thank you, as I'm sure, TJ, you want to say thank you, too.
Thank you very much.
And it truly is an honor to have you speak and come forth and to open at this point with everything that you're offering everyone. Thank you again so much.
And I, you, both of you.
I love you.
And may your hearts grow even more filled with light as you step into your empowerment and your joy of being here now in this incredible time. My love to each one of you. You may call upon me always.
TJ?
And with that, I think we'll let Rosalind probably return back to the planet.
Yes, we'll give her a moment.
And then if you...
I just heard her breathe. That's a good thing.
Breathing is good.
I'm thinking she's landing.
Yeah, she's finally coming back to Earth.
Yes, indeed.
And...
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Rosalind. That was really amazing.
That was beautiful. Beautiful. It's a place beyond words. Thank you.
Thank you, and I love you both, and I'm just very happy that we're in this time doing our stuff together and getting to share with many others and knowing that they're doing their thing as well. We're all growing together.
Mm-hmm. And I wish to thank TJ, too, for coming on board again and
well, you don't have
his
to.
His technical wizardry, along with his
fat, his sheep
love
humor.
Love, light, humor.
You know, that's one thing I like about whoever we channel, is that they all got a sense of humor. Because I would think, if they didn't laugh, then I'd say, okay, this is not a higher being, whatever we're channeling. Because every one of them seems to always have a great sense of humor.
The TJ test.
That's my little test. My little test.
That's
cool.
Good to know. In case I ever channel for you, I'll make sure they read her. I have channeled for you.
Cute.
I'm trying to think if there were any joke books involved, though.
I know that we did one time. You said, remember it was? Somebody was fairly serious. Maybe it was that tree spirit, and I was joking around with him. I said, what, are you looking at my house, my windows? Remember that?
Uh-huh.
And he said, TJ, you said TJ, he's a pretty serious being.
He was.
And I just thought, well, he needs to lighten up, for crying out loud.
Well,
well, the coming trend
out
is divine humor, and you are, like, right by the forefront there.
What?
The coming trend is divine humor.
Is
well,
it really?
Perfect, yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. We got to do that one. We got to channel that.
I think you are.
I think so, too.
Well, you know what? It's good to laugh, and I love both of your laughs. They're so infectious, and meeting both of you this year was like meeting two sisters that I've known forever. So, truly is an honor to know both of you.
Same here. Both of you. Big hugs, group hug. And I want you to know I saw the tree spirit smile.
Good. That's good. So do you want to wrap this up with anything, Joy? T-shirts for peace or something you want to mention?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did Tuesday, November 26th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's a free call-in number. It's 605-475-4700. And the access code is 568-351. And this call is focused on holding a container to continue to keep the children in safety and well-being. So that's for T-shirts for peace. And we're also having a holiday shopping party for anyone who might be local or who wants to travel in and say hello. So, and that's that. And I think that's on December 1st from 1 to 6. So that's on Facebook, the events page. But is there anything you want to add, TJ?
I just wanted to say, may the harmony and the joy of the outer bliss of the universe find your inner colon. No, I just think it's great, and it's awesome doing this show with you guys. I look forward to doing more of this down the road. Thank you so much, everybody.
And thank you, guys.
Thank you again. Bless you. And thank you. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.